This is Briar Klopp, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Jamie Dickerman in studio. We'll have an update from Tyler Donaldson and Randy Conan. Randy in San Diego for the American Sugar Beet Growers Association Convention. President Donald Trump has calls planned with his counterparts in Canada and Mexico today to discuss trade. Beginning tomorrow, the United States is implementing a 25% tariff on products from Canada and Mexico and a 10% tariff on Chinese imports. These countries are all planning to retaliate immediately.
We may have short term some little pain, and people understand that. But long term, the United States has been ripped off by virtually every country in the world. We have deficits with almost every country, not every country, but almost. And we're going to change it.
Canada is hitting back after President Trump imposing 25% tariffs on Canadian and Mexican goods.
Canada will be responding to the U.S. trade action with 25% tariffs against $155 billion worth of American goods.
Prime Minister Trudeau said the tariffs will be on a wide variety of products
and include everyday items such as American beer, wine, and bourbon, fruits and fruit juices, including orange juice, along with vegetables, perfume, clothing, and shoes. It'll include major consumer products like household appliances, furniture, and sports equipment, and materials like lumber and plastics, along with much, much more.
The Canadian tariffs will roll out in phases starting tomorrow, followed by more tariffs in 3 weeks. Mexico has also announced retaliatory measures, but hadn't shared details yet. Meanwhile, the U.S. justifying the tariffs as a crackdown in illegal border activity. More details on affected products and additional trade actions expected soon.
U.S. agricultural exports are a likely target for retaliation from Canada, Mexico, and China. Canada is the number one export destination for U.S. wheat products, vegetable oils, sugar, and biofuels. Mexico is the United States' top customer for corn, dairy products, soybean meal, and turkey. And China, the leading export market for U.S. soybeans.
A tariff trade war seems all but guaranteed, and the fertilizer markets will certainly be feeling the effects as well. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has the story.
With all the talk on tariffs with U.S. trading partners, many producers are feeling rightly nervous. StoneX Vice President of Fertilizer Josh Linville says the fertilizer industry has cause for concern as well.
It's a lot of theoretical type stuff, and a lot of people have been asking, you know, what do you think this does for prices? What is this and what's that? And there's a lot of different viewpoints of who actually pays the tariff. And I think a lot of that comes back to pressure and timing, the ability to shift supplies. And frankly, in the fertilizer world, it comes down to the product.
Tariffs will disrupt much of the flow of products between the U.S. and Canada.
When we look at urea, there's a tremendous amount of urea that flows from the U.S. to Canada in the eastern half of the country. In the western half of the countries, Canada sends a lot of urea down to the Pacific Northwest, California region. So there's a shared flow there. You flip over to anhydrous. There's a lot of anhydrous that comes from Canada down into the U.S. We're highly reliant on that. A lot of phosphate comes from the U.S. to Canada. They're depending on us there. And then potash is the biggest one. It's hard to understate just how important Canadian potash flows are to the U.S.
The timing isn't all that great either.
So when we look at all of these things, I would tell you the thing that has me believing we're actually going to pay a little bit more of this tariff rate in the short term is because of the calendar. There's not a lot of time before we start pre-plant application. I mean, we are now days away from the month of March when theoretically we could be in the field buying, putting on anhydrous, things like that. That simply doesn't give us enough time to say, oh, okay, if they're going to force us to pay the 25%, we'll just go buy it from somewhere else around the world.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
House Ag Committee ranking member Angie Craig said no one wins in a trade war. At a time when farmers are struggling with high input costs, the Minnesota lawmaker said these tariffs will only make it more expensive for farmers to do their jobs. Craig also said President Trump's action is especially questionable since his administration negotiated the free trade agreement with Canada and Mexico during his first term. In an interview with the Red River Farm Network, Craig said farmers and ag processors are also concerned about Trump's mass deportation policy.
You know, I've always been somebody who believed that we can have both strong border security as well as a big old gate that allows farm workers to come across and work in America, those H-2A visas, H-2B visas, and You know, at the end of the day, that's what America needs to be successful from an economic perspective. That's what the agriculture community needs to be successful.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
The Senate Ag Committee meeting this afternoon to consider Brooke Rollins' nomination to lead the USDA. While there's been controversy with a few of the cabinet picks, Rollins expected to easily win approval from Congress.
The fate of the U.S. Agency for International Development is in question. Over the weekend, the U.S. aid website was shut down and senior officials were placed on administrative leave. This independent agency oversees foreign assistance, disaster relief, and international development programs. The work includes collaboration with USDA to provide food assistance to foreign countries. The Food for Peace and Emergency Food Security programs are examples of that work. The program uses ag commodities such as wheat, corn, soybeans, and dry edible beans.
The American Sugar Beet Growers Association annual meeting is underway in San Diego. Randy Conan has more.
A report from the American Sugar Beet Growers Association's annual meeting in San Diego, brought to you by Beta Seed, Ag Country, Farm Credit Services, the Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association, and Amity Technology. I'm visiting with Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association Executive Director Harrison Weber. Harrison, let's just talk. We're here at the American Sugar Beet Growers annual meeting. Nice turnout. We're going to see. We've got a lot of things to be discussing here this week.
Yeah, it's a great turnout, Randy. Here, it's a fun time of the year. Mid processing season. Good to get together with all the growers from across the country, hear how their processing campaigns are going, and then really an opportunity to talk politics and really where the future of our industry is headed.
That could take us months.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of things that are, always cooking, whether it's politics. We got a farm bill that's still not done, and obviously that's our priority. Certainly there's tariff talks that have been in the news the last 48 hours, and we're monitoring those things and how that impacts sugar. We're going to be monitoring some of these dietary guidelines, how the new administration wants to shake those things out. And so there's definitely a lot of things on our mind here, and it's a good opportunity for us to come together and figure those things out.
Yeah, and plus we've got one of our own, River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association President Neil Rock said this is his first as chair?
So it's great to have leadership from our local region representing us on the national scale. Neil Rock said from Ada, Minnesota's entering his second one-year term as president of the American Sugar Beet Growers. And again, just a great opportunity to have local leadership really guiding our entire industry right here from home base.
Yep, going to be a busy couple of days.
Oh, absolutely. Again, a lot of faces here, a lot of good opportunities to visit with members of industry and growers and management from the various co-ops. And we're looking forward to it.
Our report from the American Sugar Beet Growers Association's annual meeting, brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, the Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association, and Beta Seed. From San Diego for the Red River Farm Network, I'm Randy Conan.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio made a quick weekend trip to Panama, telling the Panamanian president to reduce China's presence on the Panama Canal or face a U.S. takeover of the waterway. Panama's president said ownership of the Panama Canal is not up for negotiation. However, there was an agreement to begin technical talks to clarify China's role with the canal, and the infrastructure agreement between China and Panama will not be renewed.
USDA lifting its three-month ban on Mexican cattle imports. The Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service shut down the border in November after New World screwworm was confirmed in southern Mexico. The U.S. and Mexico have agreed to new protocols with veterinarians inspecting cattle before entering the pre-export inspection pens. The animals will undergo another inspection by Mexican officials before moving on to a final APHIS inspection.
Farmers could get some relief from biofuels with the new White House, EPA, and other agencies. Renewable Fuels Association's Troy Bredenkamp says the ethanol industry expects the president and his team to continue their past support for U.S. biofuel.
I think we'll have partners within these agencies to help move that forward. And I know that the American farmer has a pretty good friend over there in the White House right now. So he is very keenly aware, acutely aware of how important they were in the Midwest to getting him elected. And he's the kind of guy that doesn't forget things like that.
Well, there is concern about tariffs and a possible trade war. Braden Camp says Trump is also viewed as pro-ethanol.
It's time for Inside Agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network. For the second year in a row, Minnesota is experiencing another dry winter. University of Minnesota Southwest Research and Outreach Center researcher Jeff Strock says it's a trend that could continue throughout much of the state.
I went in and I looked at the Minnesota DNR website for snow depth, you know, around this very time the last three winters. And if you go back to 2023, essentially the whole entire state was covered with 4 to 24 inches of snow. It's really amazing. And then you go back to last year, and there's a band essentially from that Fargo Moorhead area all the way down to Rochester where there's less than 4 inches of snow, and we know how open and dry it was. And then you'll look at it this year, and about two-thirds of the state has got 4 inches or less, and probably about half of the state has zero snow.
Some farmers may want to do some extra scouting due to the lack of moisture.
These periods that we've had so far of a couple of times of sub-zero temperatures could really negatively affect alfalfa and could end up reducing plant populations and plant survival and may end up in lower yield this year when you think about that. Farmers who growing cover crops or, you know, even up toward the valley where there's wheat, a lot of that's going to be, spring wheat, but anywhere that there would be fall, winter cover crops or any winter wheat that might be planted, you know, being open and having some of these types of sub-zero temperatures for prolonged periods can potentially damage or kill some of those plants.
Minnesota's Republican congressional delegation has recommended Wadawan County farmer Kurt Blumgren to serve as the new Farm Service Agency state director. Blumgren raises crops and livestock and is a past member of the state FSA committee. The lawmakers also endorsed Dave Ladd to serve as the Rural Development State Director. Ladd owns his own public policy consulting firm. Previously, Ladd managed government affairs for AgriBank and was a policy advisor for Minnesota Senators Rod Grams and Dave Durenberger. The White House has the final say on these positions. Checking markets, we are up by 1¾ cents for Minneapolis wheat for the March contract, 6.17¼. Chicago wheat for March down 3¼, and the hard red winter wheat March down 4 cents. March corn down 7 at 4.75. The new crop contract down 3 cents. March soybeans down 7, 10.35 the quote, and November soybeans down 6¾ cents. Checking in on the farm calendar, best of the best in wheat and soybean research meetings will be coming up on Wednesday in Grand Forks. Thursday, it'll be held in Marriott in Moorhead, Minnesota. And we've got the Northern Corn and Soybean Expo tomorrow at the Red River Valley Fairgrounds in West Fargo. The speakers include Jacob Shapiro talking about geopolitics and the future of American agriculture. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey will look at the growing season and a look ahead to 2025. And they'll have a grain outlook with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing, of course, the trade show and more. The Northern Corn and Soybean Expo in West Fargo tomorrow. Have a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.